You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's top boutique wealth manager 2023. And today I'm speaking to Johan Berger. And Johan is in the city of George. I'm sure it's a city. It's more like a big town to me. But anyway, the city of George. And Johan, welcome. This is a new office for you, I think.
Yes, certainly. Good afternoon, Lindsay, and afternoon to all the listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we can call George a city yet, but it's definitely a town, and it's getting bigger every month. A lot of development taking place, building new hospitals. I do think they need a couple of new schools. I mean, the semigration of people coming to this area is just unbelievable. But yeah, beautiful area.
Very nice indeed. And just on that note, that's probably why you've opened an office in the town of George, because of the supply and demand factors. There's demand for financial services like the service that Brenthurst Wealth provides. And yeah, it's sort of, in a way, and I don't want to harbour on this too much, but it's bucking the South African trend, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The amount of people from all over, it's not just Gauteng, it's from all over South Africa moving to, let's call it the Western Cape or the Garden Route area. I mean, I saw the stats, the amount of families moving every month. It's quite high. It's a high percentage. And who knows when it will stop. And obviously that will provide certain challenges in terms of where everybody will stay and from a municipality and a water aspect. So you have additional challenges, but people are moving down for obvious reasons. It's quite pretty here, and people like the mountains and the ocean, and things are working here. So obviously with Brenthurst offices countrywide, the amount of people moving down to George, we decided within Brenthurst, it is quite necessary to have an office in George as well. A lot of our current clients do live in this area, and I think there is a need for financial advice and services in this area.
Okay, very good. Now let's get on with the discussing the piece that you kindly sent me earlier today. And just before I go into the first point that you want to make, I remember somebody doing a study on advertising for a particular drink by the name of Coca-Cola. And they said, well, I think there was some new marketing or advertising executive at Coke decades and decades ago that says, why do we have to waste our money on advertising? Because everybody knows Coca-Cola. So they stopped for a while. And then, of course, sales fell off quite meaningfully. Now, your first question is, it's almost the Coca-Cola example, because for so many years, you've advised people to go offshore. The fact is, you have to keep on drumming it in all the time, otherwise people will sort of forget about it. Why are you advertising to go overseas? And how's the All Share, for example, compared to some of the major overseas indices like the Dow Jones or the S&P, Jan?
Yeah, let's start off the reason we advise offshore. I mean, we live in a beautiful country, and I think certain individuals or certain listeners will think if they hear us and we indicate offshore that we have a massive dislike to South Africa. And that is not the truth at all. We love South Africa. The standard of living, it's pretty. I mean, we have everything in South Africa. However, South Africa do face a couple of challenges. We represent less than 1% of the world economy. I don't want to use this channel to talk about politics and all of that, but we have certain challenges in terms of our leaders in this country, in certain areas of the country, certain things aren't working well. So in our opinion, it is quite important to diversify your assets as a South African across the globe and invest in industries with better growth. And that's been the case for the last 10, 15 years, if you compare South Africa to the rest of the world. So to answer your second question, not a lot of people know this, but the All Share Index is almost negative 10% the last 12 months, where the rest of the world experienced a massive bull run in the last 12 months. Obviously, 2022 was a terrible year, not just for South Africa, but for everybody. And that had to do with high inflation levels, interest rates that then went up. Obviously, we had the Russian-Ukraine scenario, a little bit of COVID still, but the main factor was inflation. So if you remain invested, irrespective what area, overseas or in offshore markets, your portfolio recovered nicely in 2023. And if you compare once again, not just the last year, if you compare the last year, three-year levels, five-year levels, 10-year levels, not even with a weakening of the rand, there's a massive difference between local returns in South Africa versus global returns. And going, let's say, going further or looking into the future, nobody can predict the future. But once again, in South Africa, we do have political uncertainty. Obviously, it's election year. What's going to happen? Who knows? We have still constant load shedding, and it's very difficult for a particular economy to grow if one third of the day you don't have lights or electricity. So there are certain constraints, and people tend to forget we also have certain regulations in our pension funds. A lot of people have property in South Africa. So if you take a basket of all your assets, whether it's your property, pension funds, none of that or a small portion of that have exposure to offshore markets. And that's also another reason to say, one, you need to diversify. It looks better offshore, and the growth was and could be better offshore.
It really could be. And the other thing is, when you talk about investable products, vehicles, the JSE Securities Exchange is a fine exchange, but it's shrunk and it's continuing to shrink. Whereas if you go to, for example, the NASDAQ webpage today, you'll see that there is a queue of companies about to list on the NASDAQ over the next 2-3 weeks. You don't get that in the JSE. I can't remember the time when there was a new listing, a new exciting listing to get your teeth into. So anyway, that's just another point which we can maybe discuss another day. How do we do it? Remind us how we do it. How do we invest offshore? What should we do? How should we allocate the money? So many questions, and also the tax implications. Over to you on this one, Johan.
Yeah, I think one of the things we do as advisors, obviously you do analysis of a client and you look at his total portfolio. Some clients might have, let's call it pre-retirement products, pension money, or let's call it preservation funds, retirement annuities. And once again, I don't want to chat too much about that, but there are certain constraints and rules and regulations in terms of how you may allow or how you can invest in those funds. You can only invest 45% of that particular capital offshore. Roughly 2 years ago, that was only 30%, and luckily now it's 45%. Liquid money, you can still go 100% offshore. So here the question is, if you have a total portfolio of liquid assets, or let's call it discretionary investments, and you have retirement capital, how do you combine and how do you build asset allocation between the two? In retirement capital, there are no capital gains tax and there are no interest tax. So that is very important. So for all investors out there, I would advise to go the maximum offshore, namely 45%. And the balance you can invest in fairly conservative asset classes, whether it's bonds. And yes, you can still have some equity exposures because most of the big companies in South Africa are doing their business in any way offshore. From a liquid investment point of view, the options are you can either invest in South Africa via, let's call it asset swaps, where you invest in offshore markets, you will benefit when the rand weakens and you have exposure to the offshore markets, but you will see the investment in rand terms.
Yeah.
The other way to do it is to say every South African per calendar year will be entitled to take 1 million without tax clearance.
So you can just say, let's say you're lucky enough to have 1 million knocking around. You can just go to your bank and say, send this offshore, please, and you don't have to contact the South African Reserve Bank or SARS or anything like that. Is that the case?
That is pretty much the case. There are some paperwork, but it's not as bad when you apply for tax clearance. So yes, you're entitled to do that. And that process is quite easy to do, and you can take the money offshore. A lot of our investors are going that route, taking $1 million for himself, maybe taking $1 million for his wife. Remember, no donations tax in South Africa between husband and wife. So you can take $2 million quite easily every calendar year. If you want to apply for more, you have to go the tax clearance route. And obviously the people with renters dealing with that, they indicate to us SARS are getting more difficult on a daily basis. They're asking more questions. You need to provide more information. So in the past, we used to get tax clearance almost in a week. Nowadays, not so easy. It's not impossible. It's something we do on a daily basis. Just bear in mind, they are asking a lot more questions. Where the money is coming from, you need proof of every single transaction almost when you go that route. So it's a little bit tougher, but yeah, we still do that on a daily basis. So those are the two options that you have, either through, let's say, invest in South Africa with offshore exposure, which is also still a fantastic way to gain offshore exposure, or you go the direct route where the money is sitting offshore, and then you can choose a particular currency.
I remember when that new legislation came into place, I think it was maybe 2 budgets ago, 2 years ago, something like that. And somebody saying to me, I'm trying to get, I think it was actually someone that contacted me because of a Brenthurst interview that I'd conducted. And they said, I've had to go back to this is an elderly man, I've had to go back to like the 1970s to prove where I'd got some of the money that I was looking to send offshore. And I just didn't have the invoices, I didn't have the transaction details from my bank and that sort of thing. So yeah, the point is well made. Not as easy as it was, but it can be done, as long as you've got a good financial advisor, of course. Now, how about taking money directly offshore? Once it's there, then, of course, what do you do with it? There are so many people looking for your money.
Yes. So basically at Brenthurst, what we do is once the money is offshore, people are taking money offshore for various reasons. People are taking money offshore to, let's say, buy a property in a particular area, irrespective of where it is in the world. And secondly, and this is, in my opinion, the most important, people take money offshore to invest money offshore. So you can gain access to a wide variety of markets. I mean, globally, you can invest directly into shares. That's a little bit more, from a risk point of view, more aggressive. Obviously, you will experience greater volatility, but that's where you can make the most gains. But once again, volatility on a regular basis. The other way is to do it in the collective investment schemes, or the other word, into funds, where you appoint a fund manager through by using a financial advisor, where he will build a portfolio with exposure to certain funds in particular areas. So it could be a balanced fund, it could be a fund where you invest in the US market, or a particular asset class, whether it's in healthcare system or biotechnology, or just purely technology stocks, which has done extremely well the last five to 7 years. So the options are really limitless in terms of how you can invest money offshore. But all of that boils down to the individual, his objectives, risk profile, time horizon. All those factors play a vital role. How are we actually going to invest the money?
Very good. Final question now. You've got your money overseas with the help of your financial advisor, and you're ready to get stuck into the markets. But the world is your oyster when you've got so many different markets in which to invest. How do you choose? I mean, are you, for example, at Brenthurst looking mainly at US markets or even European markets, or are you looking further afield? For example, Japan. I noticed the Nikkei Dow has gone above 40,000 as an index level for the first time in its history in the last few days. So there are so many different exchanges and asset classes to look at.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question, Lindsay. In terms of, let's say, how we look at the world, we will predominantly invest in the US markets. That's where most of the, let's call it, major companies are situated. Another question people ask us, where do you, in all currency, do you invest in the dollar, the pound, the euro, the yen? And once again, predominantly in US dollars. And it's not that we believe the dollar will remain the strongest against the pound or the euros. It purely boils down to investment opportunities offshore. It's far greater in US dollars than in any other currency. So we're not trying to time which currency. I don't think anybody in the world can do that. So that's the reason why we predominantly invest in US dollars. Secondly, just to confirm, mainly in the US market. Obviously, that's where most of the branded, call it, companies that we all know about are located. But then there are other markets. I mean, markets that are picking up now. For example, the European market is picking up. You just mentioned Japan. People forget Japan was in a deflationary environment for such a long time. And all of a sudden, the last couple of years, Japan is doing well. Another market we are looking at, and we believe it could be the next China, will be example, or for example, India. Yes, it's an emerging market. So if you look at all these smaller markets, irrespective of whether they will do fantastic or great, you build a portfolio and then you provide what we call satellite exposure, or let's say smaller exposure to these niche markets, whether it's Japan or India. So you will hardly see any branches advisor putting 100% of a client into the India market. I think that's silly. I think that could be too volatile. However, if we see certain opportunities in a particular market, we can gradually provide some sort of exposure, let's call it 10-15% of your total portfolio into those particular markets.
Yes, just talking about India, just again in the last week or so, Disney has gone with both feet into India by having a mega merger. I think the company's called Reliance. It's owned by India's richest man. And yeah, it's because they're not doing as well as they should be in the United States. So they're going to India. And don't forget that India's the world's most populous country now. So many things we could talk about, Johan. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but thanks very much for reminding us about offshore investments and how they've served you and your clients so well over the years. That's Johan Berger from Brentos Wealth in George, the new office in George, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.